it was 2007. I was on tour with my company. We were in Melbourne, Australia, and we were going back to Paris after performing a piece called The Show Must Go On. And in The Show Must Go On, there are like 20 performers on stage. So we're on the plane back to Paris, and I read on the newspaper that because of climate change, we should, humans, reduce our carbon footprint. And it was not so clear what it was. But so I was thinking, because I had like 24 hours flight back to Paris, I was thinking how terrible it was to be 20 people, I mean, plus technical and administration, plus me, on this plane, about my company's carbon footprint. And during the flight, I had this idea that I should reduce, of course, as a good citizen I tried to be. So to reduce my carbon footprint, so I got the idea that instead of traveling with all the company, I will therefore send only two of those dancers who have been touring for years alone, two of them, and they will restage The Show Must Go On in wherever it is invited. In February 2019, I had a crisis, kind of depression, and like really losing my mind about it, like feeling the danger, thinking about what it was to be. You know, a human being at the beginning of the 21st century, and what were my responsibilities. And suddenly I decided that I should reduce more and we shouldn't travel at all. Tino Segal, who has been working with me as a dancer in The Show Must Go On, by the way, and who is now working in doing his job in the visual arts field, is not traveling since 20 years, you know. As a choreographer, as an artist producing symbols, I mean, being a symbolic power, I thought it was easier to say, okay, no travel, no planes anymore, and to make a statement. And hoping that my field, of course, the dance field, like other choreographers, dancers, and also, of course, programmers, presenters, would think about it. So since then, there is an ongoing conversation about it. Who can you do? Boot da da da, and it's endless.
I have been working at Coolbear now for 3 years, and I would say that the question about the environment was already on the table when I started. But we work more with it since, I would say, 2 years. And I think it's both because the management wants that, but also because the awareness have grown with the staff. And also, Coolbear is a part of a bigger institution, Sweden's National Touring Theatre. And they presented a climate strategy, which you can boil down to one goal, more or less, where it says that we have to lower our CO2 emissions by 10% per year in relation to audience numbers. So that was a clear starting point for us to work more intensively with these questions. And Of course. So when we look at our emissions and how we affect the environment, of course we can look at things in the buildings, we can eat more vegetarian food, we can look at production materials and the use of materials in our productions and how we recycle them or reuse them. But for us, it is of course most of our emissions are related to our touring, because we have an assignment to tour internationally, and we do that with a big, quite large company, and we are now touring inside a system that is used to use airplanes a lot. So our biggest challenge is related to that, and that's also where we have to take action. So we are touring in a system that is based on flying, and actually most of the times when we tour, we go back and forth from Stockholm, so we never go on, or almost never go on, longer tours. It is very difficult for us to be invited for longer tours. First of all, we tour in a system that is not built for sustainable touring as it looks now. The second challenge for us is that we have a very strong union in Sweden, which is super good, but that prevents us now from taking longer train rides. And Stockholm is quite far away from the rest of Europe, so we have to travel, I would say, to Berlin. It takes like 12 to 15 hours by train, and our union rules today don't allow us to do that. Taking in also the social aspect of sustainability. I mean, people now have families, and then they would have to be on tour for much longer time than they used to. So it is a big challenge for us. So now when we go on train, on tour by train, that is by individual agreement with each company member and outside the union regulations.
I have been thinking about each piece, how to change its performances in a way. I managed. No, it started with Taipei in Taiwan. We had a contract signed for a restaging of the show must go on. And I said, we're not going to send the two assistants as we do usually. So I convinced the curator to hire in Taipei two choreographers who would direct the piece with a local cast, of course, because this was already done. And so instead to send two of my assistants to make a collaboration with two choreographers there, and the guy, thanks to him, Tam Phu Quen, that he accepted the idea, and we worked in a different way. I was like you with teleconference, following some rehearsals, explaining, having meetings, and of course, since a few years, by chance, we wrote the the transcription. We wrote the score of the piece, which is like 30 pages at long. Because it was not made, and of course we were not thinking that way before. And they received this, they studied it, they asked questions, and there were some mistakes. So we changed it, and then they did the show. I saw the rehearsals, and I said, oh, this is wrong. And they said, but this is written like this. I said, oh my gosh, this is wrong. We have to change. And to understand how the score was producing. So this was very, very interesting. I heard the show was good. They were happy. I think it was, Minghua and Wang Che were very, very happy with the work, which is one thing very important, that they were enjoying to do this because they do their own work, and suddenly they were working with another choreographer. I did a show called Isadora Duncan. So this one was a creation after the decision of not taking planes. So, and there are many Duncan dancers around the world. And there is one in Paris I wanted to work with. So I did a version of the piece in Paris. And I knew I had to do one in the US because she's American. And also through my research about Isadora Duncan, I realized that there was this fabulous dancer in New York, Catherine Gallant. So I offered her to do the piece with her, but that we rehearsed by Skype. So this was very funny and very rich because I was working the two pieces the same day, two different versions, I mean two different dancers, but it was the same piece. So I was working in Paris in the studio with Elisabeth, the French Duncan dancer, from 2 to 6, let's say. And then I was going home. And from 8 to 12, I was rehearsing in New York with the American dancer. And it was strange, but it was very good because it went very fast. Because to see two dancers the same day, I took the best of them. In a way, it was like, oh no, this, okay, she does this like this, so it's better. So the day after New York, I was in Paris, I was having the rehearsal in Paris, I was, no, we have to do it like this, because of that, and vice versa. So this was very rich, I have to say. I couldn't expect, I thought it would be very boring and take time, twice of the time, of course. But in fact, no. The fact that I had two different experiences in the same day of the same piece helped me to understand faster. So, but then the next one is for anybody, and this one is a piece which will be a score. So I will send. So I'm thinking already about guys. For example, I think. I'm writing because I need to have an idea of the performer. So I was thinking about like Pichet Kunshun, the fabulous choreographer and dancer from Thailand that I've been working with so many years. Some people around the world that I will send them the, and hopefully they will literally interpret what has been written. You know, I mean, so it's interesting because I'm thinking about the score, because the score is not like, I mean, we don't have any, I mean, of course we have La Banne, but nobody knows. I don't know how to write La Banne. And so today we have a lot of different techniques, tools, so videos, Skype, writing, photos, whatever. I'm thinking about what is today a score. How can you transmit some ideas to so this, and of course it will be a solo because it's simpler to start. Our company manager Rebecca Laslan, she needs to organize tours, which is a total job that we don't, we were not doing anymore, because when I started in the 90s, we still tried to do tours. But then as the flights were cheaper and cheaper, now we don't care. We go like that for one day to München, and then the after to Athens or... So this, so now when the piece is going to mention, she needs to go all around. So Vienna and Salzburg, and so to because we travel by train, of course. And this is a very different work, and I think it's a lot of work for her. She organized a tour in Scandinavia, and so we go through Europe, Northern Europe, through until Helsinki, with a collaboration of different institutions. I mean, because now we can't work anymore alone. We need the help of other ones. So this is a new thing. You need to be to put people together. To say when she got the contract in Oslo, she asked the person in Oslo, "Do you have friends? I mean, people who would be interested to take the piece before or after in the region, because otherwise we don't come, because we can't only come to Oslo. It's too long." The unions in France don't allow that we travel so much, so we need to stop in between every I don't know how many hours. So this is but this, of course, it's difficult, but I think it's very interesting because it's a way to put everybody to say, okay, guys, we're not taking the plane anymore. We want to have a different perspective on climate change, and we want to create a prototype because I feel like I'm alone. People who don't want to change, which are the old ones. I mean, maybe it's a little bit schematic, but it's my feeling for now. For example, on my colleagues, I've been talking with them, my generation of choreographers, and they don't feel like doing anything. But on social networks, I've been contacted by a lot of youngsters who are saying, "Oh, we're doing that, we're trying this." So I feel like new generation are more, and we understand why. They are building things so they can invent, and I mean, they are the one who are contemporary. I mean, my generation is, I feel like they're not anymore. They're not changed, they're not contemporary. Contemporary, suddenly the contemporary is different, and I think we can't work the same way. And then I was thinking about now hiring only people who want to travel, but I mean, who would be with ecological concerns and not traveling. And then one friend of mine who is a big judge in she's a judge, and she said, "Jerome, you can't hire people for that. I mean, this is forbidden, this is private life." So I was like, okay, yes, I shouldn't do that. I have to be careful. So also there is a lot of new jurisdiction things which are interfering, you know, about what I was mentioning before about the unions. And so we have to study this. This is also interesting. I heard that in some subsidies institutions there is one line of ecology. So if you're involved in ecology, you will be more supported. So this is a very good news, but it's not low for now.
So far, other theaters have been responding quite positive on paying train tickets instead of plane tickets, and they have welcomed this when it has happened. But still, there is no bigger change in the touring system, I would say. We still don't stay for a very long time on each tour, and also we don't go from city to city when we tour. If we stay inside the same touring system as we have today, then and we start to take even more trains, that would mean that we spend more time on trains and less time dancing, rehearsing, producing, performing. We still accept almost all tour requests that we get. We have said no a couple of times where we would have to fly very far for like one performance, and we don't think that is responsible. But of course, in the future, we would have to say no to more. And if we don't accept tours, we would not live up to our goals, which is to meet the audience. So we would have less meetings with the audience. If more presenters had systems for longer tours in Europe, we would more easily accomplish our goals. And of course, to change that union agreement would also help us, so that we can send the whole company by train and not only a group of the company members. But when we talk about accomplished goals, I also just want to emphasize that, of course, international touring is not only to accomplish goals, it's also like super extreme in dance and in the art field overall. So it is just to keep on international exchange and develop that and international touring. And also, if we would look at the touring system and change the touring system so that we can actually stay longer, even in a smaller city, we could stay longer, then we can also deepen the international exchange. So it's only not only to go to a city and perform once or twice, show like our art to an audience who sort of knows what we do already, but actually to engage more in the local audience by meeting, for instance, schools or other kinds of groups through workshops and talks and other activities that we could do more together, and where we also could learn from the people, the local audience, instead of this one-way communication that guest performances, which happens when we come and perform.
I think, and especially especially what we call contemporary dance. Contemporary dance was something which was like reacting to the world, to the today's world. I'm not interested in ballet. I'm not interested in all these old things which have no connection with the reality. So contemporary dance and experimental dance add, the interest was that they are connected with today's issues or realities. And that's why it's called contemporary. So if we would go on, I thought that contemporary, people who work with contemporary arts would react, would change and find a new way to do art. And especially dance, because dance also is so much related to presence, because we don't produce things, nothing is stays forever, and which is also nice is that we don't produce objects, you know. That's why at least we have this. We don't produce objects. We do acts, movements, performance. So I thought those people would be more reactive to the actual situation. That it would be obvious. But the problem is that we based dance on globalization. The last 30 years, the success of dance, of contemporary dance, comes from its globalization. Like we can travel all over. We don't need translation. For example, theater is less globalized than dance. It's supposed not to be used language, so spoken language. So, and this we have to go back. I mean, to finish with this, and this is very hard. Because for me, there is a globalization of dance. I mean, you can find, I see works which comes from Australia, And you can find this in around Paris, this kind of same thing. But the problem is that the curator knows that he will sell more tickets if the piece comes from Australia than from the suburb of Paris, because it's more exotic. But there is the globalization of that, mean that you can see a lot of works which look the same all over the world. But the fact that it comes from far away, at least from the point of view of Paris, if it comes from Sydney, people are more excited to go to buy a ticket. So we're in a bad city. We're very bad. So, and those are the curators and the festival directors who have to change also their work. They have to dig around, they have to invest in the surrounding, see what can be, what they can help.
Talk to your staff. The whole organization has to be on board. Educate yourself, read, discuss. Because I think to start there from the inside, it will be much easier to reach the goals in the end. For instance, at Coolberry we had a day for all our employees where we talked about sustainability for a whole day, or not talked, we did different activities and workshops and actions around it. We had and then we also talked about more aspects of sustainability, so it was not only environmental, the environmental aspect, for instance individual sustainability. So we did meditation, but we also did a gardening workshop outside our building where we planted pollinators to feed the beehives that we also installed on the roof. We encourage our canteen to serve more vegetarian food, and we eat more vegetarian food in the company. We also started to when we changed our logo, we didn't order new t-shirts, but actually people brought in their secondhand t-shirts, like t-shirts they already had, and we printed our logo on them. And I think that was pretty important for us to do activities on this topic and not only to talk about it, because then you don't feel like this apathy that you can sometimes feel, I think, when we read facts and we get all the numbers. So it's also like to take the issue in your own hand and do something about it. And when you have all that on board, then change is much easier. I would not say that there is a common, like not a system, a systematic collaborations between companies, but there is a quite high awareness and understanding about these questions. I mean, there are some networks starting, for instance, train touring networks, where you go by train from city to city. But I would say that we could have like hundreds of those kinds of networks only in Europe. So we need more.
From the old perspective, I wouldn't be able to go on. And in fact, on the contrary, this new paradigm, this new situation, pushed my creativity in a way to find solutions. So I have a lot of energy. I'm thinking all the time. I'm excited because suddenly I feel, I don't know if it will work, but it's too early to say so. But I have new ideas, and I found new ways to work, and I knew since the beginning that when you change the way you work, you find new things, which is obvious. It's one of the statements in the beginning of my work. The way you produce, is creating new products. It's creating new way to behave, new way to dance, new way to think.
We know now that the scientists, they ask for art to step in the climate debate, sort of, or in the information flow. because they have communicated numbers and facts for over 30 years and not so much has happened. But they also say that they think that this change has to come with the culture.
Yeah, I was, it was so obvious for me that we had to change everything. It's so, I mean, for me, it's, there's no one doubt about what's going to happen. So we had to do everything we can. I'm not going, I don't think I'm going to save the planet, but at least I do what I can. I do my best, even I lose opportunities, performances, international recognition, whatever, but this is all shit. I mean, I'm not interested anymore. It was fun when it was possible, but as now it's danger. I see this. I mean, I've been thinking this in relation with agriculture. You know, agriculture, we shouldn't bring our food from so far away because there is a footprint carbon. So I think with the culture, it should be the same for now. For now, maybe in 20 years, things getting better and we go back. Maybe we find a plane which is like, which produce no carbon.
I don't think it's art's job to save the world, but I think art has a quite important key role in creating meaning for life and for humans and for keeping us on Earth. And I think that through art we can also sort out we can also talk about what we are facing as humans today and present alternative futures. So instead of only like communicating facts and numbers and also catastrophes and like a threatening future, we can also talk about an alternative future, which can be quite beautiful also, I think. And not be so afraid of losing what we have, but actually talk about what we can have instead and how we can share that with each other. And actually Kullberg has started a project that is around these things, where we gather scientists and artists from different organizations to talk about sustainability and the future, but to finding a new word for it, or new words, a new language for it, and also to see what we can learn from each other, because the scientists, they have communicated these facts and like catastrophes now for 30 years or more, nothing has happened, and they also need, I think they need art and culture to change in order to make people change and make the world change.